Good morning, everyone. So we begin with the G20 Economic Summit. The 20 most powerful industrial economies in the world get together in Pittsburgh. And in the last episode of this little drama of the G20, you may recall it couldn't have been more urgent.
This is the day that the world came together to fight back against the global recession. Not with words, but with a plan for global recovery and for reform, and with a clear timetable for its delivery. And our message today is clear and certain. We believe that in this new global age, our prosperity is indivisible. We believe that global problems require global solutions. We believe that growth to be sustained must be shared, and that trade must once again become an engine of growth.
That's British Prime Minister Gordon Brown speaking in London last April. Are they carrying forward the mission there at the G20 as they gather in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? And they're certainly looking for engines of growth in Pittsburgh. In a sense, Pittsburgh is the birthplace of industrial capitalism, the home of Andrew Carnegie and Andrew Mellon, two of the richest people ever to walk the face of America. But Pittsburgh has certainly changed since then. And it's in the current environment that we invite Sabina Dietrich, Associate Professor of Urban Affairs at the University of Pittsburgh, to the program. Good morning, Sabina. You're the historian amongst us, right?
Good morning, John. I'm somewhat of a historian, certainly in terms of some of the things that have happened to the Pittsburgh economy over the years.
And Sean Sebastian, you're a partner in Birchmere Ventures. You're the entrepreneur among us who's sort of a newbie in Pittsburgh, right?
Well, relatively speaking, I've been in Pittsburgh since the mid-90s, and actually I'm the capital source that funds entrepreneurs launching their companies, so I'm part of that community.
Great. And Justin Strong, we've already talked to you. You've been in Pittsburgh long enough to have seen just about everything, right, Justin?
Yes.
How long have you been there?
31.
And
31 years.
31 years. And there's never been a G20 summit anything like this in your 31 years, right?
No.
All right, Sabina Dietrich, let's begin with you. For historical context here, in some sense, it makes perfect sense to have the G20 summit in Pittsburgh. 100 years ago, Pittsburgh was really the center of industrial capitalism, along with Cleveland, to a certain extent, New York, Chicago. But Pittsburgh was really where modern banking and industrial sort of vertical integration began, right?
Yes, and as you mentioned, it was the home of Andrew Carnegie and Andrew Mellon, certainly the financial capital and the production capital through the steel and metal workings industry, glass, iron, and so forth, was really growing and thriving here in Pittsburgh.
Sean Sebastian at Birchmere Ventures, I mean, there was a time not too long ago when Pittsburgh, after New York, was the home of more corporations in the United States than anywhere else in the country. What are you finding there today in terms of seed capital and green shoots for economic growth?
Well, you're right. At one point, we had a very, very high concentration of Fortune 500 capital headquarters here. We don't quite have that density now, although a number of notable companies are still based here. In contrast to that time, we're seeing a lot of younger companies, small companies with big ideas starting up, coming out of the universities that we think have the potential to supplant those and take their place in the larger global economy as leaders.
So, Justin Strong, what are people to make of the G20 being there? I mean, is the message to the G20, you know, industrial capitalism, love it while you got it, but it can sure go away. Just look around you in Pittsburgh. Or is it more, remember the good old days of Andrew Carnegie?
No, I think it's, learn from history, learn from your mistakes, but, you know, let's move forward. I think what, you know, Pittsburgh shows us that you can reemerge from these kind of distressed economic periods through innovation and new ways of thinking.
Well, you're the vice president of S&G Holding, a company for urban development of blighted areas. Let's get out of the boosterism here in this conversation. If you were to take Nicolas Sarkozy, maybe President Obama, possibly, you know, Hu Jintao on a little tour of Pittsburgh, where, Justin Strong, would you take them?
Well, actually, it's funny you said that, because on Friday at 3 p.m. we're doing a green environmental tour in the Larmer section of Pittsburgh, which is our company's first project, is going to be based there, which is probably one of the more distressed areas of Pittsburgh. What we really want to show is the parallels between, even though you have like the top 20 economies, you know, hanging out in Pittsburgh for a couple of days, you still have a neighborhood like Larmer. So you want to kind of look at they got the macro perspective. We want to look at the micro perspective of economy and say, you know, how can you outfit this neighborhood with its existing population while bringing in new demographics without pushing them out and put them in a path of opportunity to benefit from the new green economy.
All right. Well, Sean Sebastian, let me ask you a question as an entrepreneur. I mean, is the situation, is Pittsburgh attractive because it's an opportunity to buy really low because it's depressed and has economic problems, although some have said that it's actually done better in the recession than other cities? Or is there some unique asset in Pittsburgh that is has real value?
Well, from a venture capital perspective, it has unique assets of two major universities that have very, very strong centers of excellence on medical on one side, University of Pittsburgh, and technology and robotics on the other side in Carnegie Mellon. And that's very hard to find anywhere else in the country, Silicon Valley included. On the buy cheap sort of perspective, we're off the coasts, and that is both an advantage and a disadvantage. We sort of are in the flyover area from the major venture capitalists and the major concentrations. But at the same time, it does, to your point, let us get into opportunities, we think, on a very attractive basis, and then have those guys follow us in farther down the road.
So, Sabina, you know, John was talking about it being a depressed place and asking what there is to offer. But, you know, Pittsburgh is actually quite a lovely city. It was voted most livable by the Economist magazine, I think, just a couple years ago. I mean, there's actually a lot going on. It's diversified its industries. But how does Pittsburgh emerge from this image of itself as a sort of rusting relic of the days of the Carnegies?
Well, certainly all the press it's getting through the G20 should help it. Absolutely. The transition is uneven, and Justin points out some of the neighborhoods in Pittsburgh where the transition from the old economy to the new economy has adverse effects on certain places and certain people. And it's always important to remember what those places and people are and what other kinds of things can be done. But in terms of the image of the city, I think the kinds of things that are being promoted through this event and through the G20 press and the greening of the city and the physical environment and the kinds of buildings that are being built, and as Sean was talking about, the investments and the strength of the universities here points to some of the things looking forward in the coming years for growth and the transition to continue.
Well, Sabina, Dietrich, you make an interesting point, and Celeste reminds us that Pittsburgh is actually a lovely city, but the irony here is that in the heyday of Carnegie and Mellon, it was a polluted mess. You couldn't breathe there. There were high incidences of tuberculosis, so the sun shining there is actually a sign of the departure of industries. Are the industrial strategies of today in any sense relevant to how Pittsburgh got its original wealth, vertical integration, mass scale factories, that sort of thing?
Well, it's hard to draw total parallels from some, you know, events from 100 years ago in the transition of the Second Industrial Revolution, the kinds of things that were propelling it, certainly in iron and steel and so forth. But there are lessons to learn, and really it was the formation of those sorts of companies. I mean, the U.S. Steel was a, you know, Carnegie Steel became a $1 billion company in one day with the purchase. So those kinds of things. But it is a different technology base today, and that's the kind of thing that will propel growth and new companies.
Sean Sebastian, what are you most concerned about G20 leaders, you know, making progress on? And is it anything that might affect your bottom line?
Well, they're operating and thinking about very macro-level issues. And I think to your earlier point, Pittsburgh has not done as badly in this recent depression that we've had. From our perspective, the city never seems to fly as high in the good days nor sink as low in the bad. And I'll take that as a net positive.
Leveling out the boom and bust.
Exactly.
Well, Justin Strong, I'll let you take us out. You mentioned that it would be important for the G20 leaders to look around and maybe recall the lessons of history of industrial capitalism. What are those lessons from your perspective, 31-year resident of Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we kind of see even more recently, like, sometimes you can't be too big. And I think one of the things that Pittsburgh kind of shows that if you are kind of like in the middle, you're a little bit more nimble, you can change with the flow of the wind, you'll actually survive longer over a course of time.
And what about those Steelers, right, Justin?
Yep, we're about to whoop up on some Bengals, take out some aggression.
Speaking of the Rust Belt, Sean Sebastian, you got a line on the Steelers game this weekend?
Oh, clear win. This is an easy win. We said that last week, too.
Sabina, how about you?
I'll second Sean's point.
All right. Well, we're united about one thing in this conversation, the Steelers rule. Sabina Dietrich, Associate Professor of Urban Affairs at the University of Pittsburgh. Thanks so much for being with us, Sabina.
No, it's my pleasure. Welcome.
Sean Sebastian, good luck with the venture capital business there at Birchmere Ventures. Thanks.
Thank you.
And Justin, I'm coming to Pittsburgh. I think we should hang out.
Well, I have a place to hang out. You come on down to the Shadow Lounge or Ava, two of my spots opened up in East Liberty.
All right. Justin Strong, co-owner and general manager of the Shadow Lounge. Waiting for the G-Summit.